I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Wake up in the morning feeling like...
Waterman is extremely well. She's very slippery.
You don't own me.
Okay, now the tough question.
Is this a try? Yes or no?
Just because I'm... a woman.
We are in record.
Happy birthday week, try hard.
Thank you.
Well, it's coming out a little bit later than normal, isn't it? Right?
It is. It is, because I had a touch of wine flu and also spent 5 hours at the hairdressers yesterday.
Yeah. Mate, I beat you. I drove a fair amount to get to my hairdressers. It was a full day affair.
Well, it's the fact that, like, I mean, I would have taken like a 2-hour drive either side of the hair appointment, but 5 hours in the chair. I had over 200 foils in my hair to colour it, and basically had a funny turn whilst they were doing it, because for those people who've never bleached their hair, when you have peroxide on your hair, it heats up. And the foils were so heavy and there were so many of them, and I obviously had my mask on. I basically nearly fainted having my hair done. It was extreme, but you know, pain is beauty. And
mate, you have told me a lot more vicious, awful stories around beauty regimes than having a hot head and slightly feeling slightly overwhelmed. Some of the stuff that you've gone through with those facial peels and stuff, I mean,
yeah,
that's new.
I mean,
level
that was it. This was very easy comparative to that. I am also blaming the fact that I had the vaccine hangover, because I am vaccinated.
Round one,
got my jab in my arm. Here I am, AstraZeneca'd up to the max. Couple of bit of feedback that I just like to give to Jabs R Us in Cardiff Bay. I fully expected there to be a sticker or confectionery, and there were neither.
I used to love a sticker when you'd go to the dentist.
Yeah.
And my dentist, they had like a flat out massive ring binder, and they honestly, some of the stickers were the size of your head, so when you got them on, it was literally it was like you were walking billboard with a frog on you,
and you go back into school and be like walking into the classroom at 10:30, like, what's going on, kids? Guess where I've been?
It's so funny, isn't it? Why are stickers so good?
Oh, don't, like, and kids just absolutely...
I'm not going to remember who it is. I've played rugby with someone that's got a sticker phobia. Someone at Wasps. Yeah.
Wow.
Someone at Wasps, sticker phobia. Another person, banana phobia. Played with someone that was scared of mashed potato.
How on earth would anyone be able to have a banana phobia around you? You're like, have you seen the film My Big Fat Greek Wedding, how he puts Windex on it? I feel like you're like that with bananas. Hungry, have a banana. Bit sad, have a banana. Hungover, have a banana. Period cramps, have a banana.
It's a nice mix between sweet and savoury.
Bananas are not savoury, one of the sweets and savoury. I also, do you know what? I quite like that we've got this ability to use this platform as a bit of like therapy for us, because I hate watching you eat bananas. I feel like you eat them so aggressively. You're always in a rush. Like, they are the ultimate convenience snack food to you. And you're always like so like, like ramming it in your mouth and like grunting. And I find it quite a disturbing experience to be a part of. And I'm glad that I'm actually able to get this off my chest.
I'm so happy that you said this in a public forum rather than just, mate, stop eating like that when I'm eating them in your company. I'm now going to be so conscious of ever eating a banana in front of anyone.
Has no one ever mentioned this to you? Has Simone not mentioned this to
you? No.
You honestly, you scare me. And that's why I felt like I haven't been able to say it when it's just us, because it just really, like, you know when some people do things and, like, someone else does something, but you find it panic inducing, like watching someone parallel park is panic inducing, even if it's not you doing it. You eating a banana induces panic in me.
There is real depth, but like underneath all of this, isn't there?
You know what, one of the worst things when you, sorry, I feel like I'm really going off on a tangent on today's podcast, we will talk about rugby at some point, is when you're in a real rush and you eat it, you snap the top off and you eat from the banana in the skin in one hand and the snapped off
in the hand. I do that.
Like, you're like double stuffing and I'm like, why does she need to eat it so quickly? And
I really do,
like a little
do that.
Hamster, and you have like these banana pockets in your cheeks. Oh wow, I just feel so happy that I've managed to get this off my chest today.
I do snap the banana off and eat it, and then that's not quite sure where that habit's come from. Obviously speed is always is important when you're in between training and having to balance working and training and not having enough time to get food in. But I'm now not doing either. So I will take that on board.
Yes, yeah, slow down with the banana.
You know, before we got onto the food chat, I was actually going to comment about the fact that now we're two blonde bombshells again. I'm a little bit gutted that we had to have a photo shoot last week when it was absolute terrible roots from
roots to my
ear, both of us.
What an experience that was. We so if you missed it, Nolly and I got the back page of Monday's Telegraph Sport, which was really odd because obviously, like, not so much for Nolly because, you know, she's won a World Cup, whatever, but I've been in Cowbridge Gem when it was going back in the day, the local rag, a number of times, I will add. But the back page of the Telegraph Sport on the Monday after the Masters was a pretty big deal. What a strange experience. And I'm just glad that the photograph looks like it's a piece about two women who can't get a mortgage or something like that, because we're sat on the planters on my parents' front garden. As you do.
Yeah, wishing to be inside of the property, our dream home.
Our dream home that's been snatched from us by the Building Society.
It was a fun experience, only to mainly watch you squirm. And I've noticed, so a bit of therapy for me, I've noticed, like, you're quite a funny person. You give me stick all of the time. You're quite funny. And I've noticed that when you're uncomfortable, irrelevant of whether you're with someone you have just met, say, like the photographer, you start giving the biggest amount of bant to everybody and just start tearing into everyone. Like, you're probably post 9 o'clock kind of chatter at 9 p.m., I've noticed that. I noticed, is it Steve, the photographer?
Yeah, he was Steve.
I was like, oh, wow, I feel like maybe you've known him for a long time. No, you just met.
Wow, I didn't know that. I have to say, one thing that whilst we were doing, which I kept thinking about afterwards, whilst we were doing the photo shoot, I did feel really, like, uncomfortable and I didn't enjoy the experience at all. But at one point he asked us to walk up the road and we had to walk away from him. And we just started having a conversation. I said, oh, I like your earrings. And you told me that you'd lost another pair of earrings the week before. And you did an impression of Miles Harrison. And I keep thinking about it because it's honestly tickled me so much. I have known Miles for well over a decade, having worked with him as a, you know, from a young age at Sky. And he is, we talk about so often what a special commentator is and what an amazing man he is. But he is such a he's such a character as well, and such a kind of, he has his foibles, and Nolly just took him off to a tee, and I just keep thinking about it, and it just, I could picture him. She was so good. I mean, I don't feel like there's a massive market for an impression show with you doing Miles and me doing my dad, because we both do both of those really well. But yeah, it really tickled me. And you know, when something then just keeps popping back into your head.
Can I just say that it wasn't me taking the mic.
It wasn't done with manners. Repeating what he'd said, but you got his mannerisms down.
Very upset and very worried that I'd lost the earrings that potentially were
expensive,
sentimental, and they weren't. But he was very worried about it. Oh. Anyway, photo shoot with you was really good fun, and I will say, I obviously the launch of the pod, the not the podcast, launch of
a while ago,
the documentary, like blew my socks off, and it was just amazing to be able to share it with everyone. Obviously, we've kind of been hinting towards it for a little while that we've been working together, and I just love the fact that, and you're going to feel a little bit uncomfortable about this, but quite often, you know, people have said some amazingly, like, are incredibly humbling things to me, but what's been like amazing for me to read is actually you getting the compliments for what you've done in your job, putting it all together, and actually quite often the person that's behind the camera that's making it, you know, doing the interviews, pulling it all together, producing and directing and editing it. I think it's what's been really cool to see you get the credit. And yeah, and Starkey obviously was your wingman with it, helping you. So I think that's been super cool. That I just love that story has been told and it went out in the Telegraph, because that's a really important message, is that yes, I'm talking about commentary, but my role transcends across lots of, and my messaging goes across so many different industries and so many different walks of life. And you doing the producing and directing is emphasis of that. And also Kate Rowan writing the piece in the Telegraph shows that as well. So yeah, I think from my perspective, I couldn't have been more proud.
I can't imagine there are many listeners of this podcast who haven't yet watched it. But if you haven't, we would really implore you to do it. And we don't say that from a vanity or an egotistical point of view. I think the big thing for me, and this is what I have said, I've had some absolutely amazing messages from people, not just on social media, but people who've got in touch privately, people who I've worked with for a long time, people I respect. And I found it incredibly touching. But the big thing for me is that I keep describing this as a passion project, not from the perspective that I got to work with one of my best friends on it, but because we have been able to craft and disseminate a message that we're incredibly passionate about and is important to us. And it's important to start conversations. And that's where I think this isn't about you or I, this isn't about your story. It's about how your story is relatable to so many other women. And what you talk about in a commentating sense, in a transitional sense, so many people will relate to that. And I'm so pleased that it has really landed, as they say. I've now heard a lot of that in the past few weeks. It has landed with so many people. So please continue to keep sharing it. Please watch it if you haven't already. And we really hope that it starts some more conversations. And we're very proud of it.
You know what, I think it's also really cool, and I think just to mention, you know, to have Flats in there being so open and honest and chatting as he always is, obviously Joe Blake Turner from Channel 4, but you know, to involve someone like Lynn Cantwell and having her new job title put across the screens, she is just one of the most magnificent women that I know. I watched an interview and I retweeted it yesterday, when Lynn was interviewed for, I think, RTE, and she was talking about what she's doing with South African rugby and how she envisages it moving forward, and she needs to listen and she needs to work out what works over there, you know, the women and not just the structures behind them, but actually the women that are playing the sport in South Africa are a very different demographic to around the world, and she needs to hear from them. And it was fascinating, and I just, you know, I know she's going to do an amazing job over there. And maybe this leads nicely into what we're going to talk about with the Six Nations. But to have her involved, it was really special. And you know, I've seen some of the extended stuff that didn't quite make the final cut, because it could have gone on for hours, the documentary. But I feel very touched to have had the people involved with it. And you know, I think probably the last word on the documentary, I'm sure it won't be the last word because we'll be living off this for years to come, but it actually has to go to HSBC and Sven Glor, who heads up the global ambassador team and all of the work that we do and so much more within the company. And he was the person that was driving this. He was the one that approached me to ask, could I do the story? He approached you to produce it and direct it. And for HSBC to do this is massively outside their comfort zone. And I know you've only got to look at what their content is to see that actually putting those tweets out and with asterisks of the swear word, you know, like those types of things are huge. This is above and beyond. And it needed someone like him to put his full weight, belief and passion behind it. And I think this genuinely is just the start of what's more to come. And internally, I know that they are amazing with some of the stuff they do around balance, around the values that they hold, and what they support with gender equality and like loads of things. They don't talk about it externally.
Yeah.
And I think this is one of the first times that they've said, right, these are our values. These are our values as a company. And this is these stories and this person aligns with that. And we're proud to share that story. So I think watch this space. It'd be brilliant that if it can continue. And I know that we're now working in the wings to try and get some actioning points on the back of it and get it to really land, not just in the media world, but engage and inspire yet more young people and lots of different industries.
Run it up the flagpole and see who salutes it, quite frankly, Danielle. I think yeah. But we'll take that offline and we'll network that later. I have warned you about using corporate management speak on the podcast, so this one is now a set,
you know what,
more written warning. But I think just because we've talked about the documentary, which obviously focuses on your commentating, how was your commentating last weekend? I'd imagine you were in sunny France, were you?
We weren't in France, but we weren't not in France. Unfortunately, we couldn't fly, so we were in sunny Wales, and I can never remember the name of the place. Tinopolis, that's the place in Swansea. It's not in Swansea, is it? It's Netley.
Netley, yeah.
Not quite sure. Anyway, I arrived. It's quite an old building, and I was like, oh, so, didn't read the email. Got a lovely email from Mandy telling me exactly where I needed to go, what I needed to do. Did the classic scroll, need to be there for X time. Okay, cool. Didn't read it properly. And I saw a sign and I thought, there we go. That's the car park. Whizzed up it, got to the top. Both shutters are down. I thought, oh my God, what have I done? I can't turn around. I've just come to a car park that was closed because it's the weekend. And so I reversed. Up a ramp between two concrete pillars, up a ramp and around a corner. And I reckon there was about a foot and a half both sides of my car. That's how wide it was. And I then had to, and it was probably around 20 or so meters, like up. So it's no, maybe 30 meters. It was a big old ramp.
Did you have spicy pig?
Panic. I had to reverse back down to the road. I then drove round the building, thought, right, can't find the car park. I'm just going to stop and read the email. I was actually right. I just had to pull up to the garage door and there was a button that you press and the garage doors open when you go in.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, wow. Turned around and then back up the ramp I went. So I did that three times. Went in and there's a security guard had 100% seen me doing it because he literally was like smirking behind his mask at me.
I bet when you were in school, yeah, you'd sit an exam, you'd like finish it and be sat there with the exam paper in front of you, like I'd finish with 10 minutes left and then reread the question and realize you hadn't read it correctly the first time. Yeah. And instead of answering a question about the third wife of Henry VIII, you've answered it about the sixth wife of Henry VIII, and you're that person. you're always in a rush. It comes back to how you eat bananas. Full circle.
You know what? It did serve me right. It was funny, but it was really fun to commentate. We actually probably had one of the better games of the weekend with La Rochelle Sale. It was a bit of an odd one. Like, there wasn't really much continuity. It was just a bit, you know, they score, we score, that's kind of nothing. There wasn't like flow with the game. But we did get a couple of good tries and had a good time. And also, one of my absolute highlights of commentary so far was Jamie mentioning that one of the players was like from La Rochelle was like 22 stone, I think.
Wow.
And Miles, and then proceeded to ask Miles what that was in kilos, and he didn't know, and he was absolutely mortified that he didn't know. And so literally in between live commentating on a game was also on his notes working out like old school maths what it would be, and then announced it but then got it wrong because he did the maths wrong.
But I know what you're like, and the fact that you're Mrs. Maths, so I bet you were sat there so smug next to him watching him doing his workings out, and you were probably like, I'll round that up to the nearest 10 stone, what that is in kegs, and then I'll carry the one, and then, because you're so smug about math.
I had worked it out because I had worked it out because I'm only, it's easy because I was 65 kilos and I was 10-ish stone. So I just worked out that it was 65 times two plus a bit.
Again, like watching someone do parallel parking, having to do on the spot mental arithmetic is something that makes me feel panic.
I tell you what, one of the best people, can you remember Brain Train? Can you remember that on your
Nintendo Wii?
Oh, but yeah, I was never allowed one of those. I only had a handheld, was it Nintendo DS? Because it was given to us for free. I can't even remember why. And I had Brain Train, and I honestly, like, because maths I could do like so easily, I just like click through and get a bit bored. I then sat on the plane next to Amy Turner, England legend, and said, oh, mate. And she's like, oh, do you want to play? Like, so I gave it to her, and she was the most stressed. I honest to God, I spent the whole trip, wherever we were flying to, wherever a game, in floods of tears, laughing so much. And she was like, she got so stressed. It got to a point where it was like, 2 plus 4, 2 plus 4, 2 plus 4. I was like, mate, just chill.
That's,
it's like,
that's my life. So this is something that, like, in my head, I find maths very stressful because I'm not good at maths. Like, I'm just terrible with numbers. And in my head, working in TV, I'm never going to have to use maths. Like, it's not a proper job, is it? Like, you know, I wear jogging pants to work sometimes. And little did I realise at the beginning of my journey that, of course, you use maths all the time because everything has a duration and you work to durations. And the biggest issue I have is you count in time. And I find it very unnatural to count in 60s, not 100s. I'm also awful at the 24-hour clock and always turn at places 2 hours early because I get confused by it. And I'll never forget when I worked at Sky, we used to do Super Rugby Try Time, which was a 30-minute show on a Sunday that had the highlights of every Super Rugby match over the weekend. So at this point, it would have been Super 15. There would have been 15 teams. So you've got 7 games a weekend. Quick maths. And I'd basically have like roughly worked out the duration of each game, and then they'd all go into the show at the end, and the show would be like 5 minutes too short, and I would be in an edit suite crying about it. Or we would do rugby club on a Thursday, and
oh, I remember that
rugby club on a Thursday, and we'd either
who hosted that?
Well, Simon Lazenby and then Alex Payne.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure it was Alex. I remember. Yeah. That's why I was a little bit starstruck by him, I think, when I first met him. Because I used to watch rugby clubs. So it was the first ever time women's rugby was shown, I think. Yeah. It was like, oh, we're going to do a roundup of the internationals from the Six Nations game. And it was literally like 4 seconds of lots of terrible haircuts and a couple of tries.
So we'd do that on a Thursday. We'd either pre-record it in the afternoon or it would go live. And if it was pre-recorded, the reality was that things would have to be fixed in an edit suite. And I one of the boys had basically put the show out one day with a 2-minute black hole in the middle of the show. And I would be, I'd just be beside myself. I'd be like having panic attacks in the gallery. And it was just the worst experience of my life.
Ooh. I told you the, when the strength and conditioning coach, I think this is a story recently on the podcast, where the strength and conditioning coach in, when we were on tour, Dan Howells, I think he, his, someone had passed away in his family. It was really awful. So he flew home, and because I was injured, I took over the S&C role. I think I've talked about this on the pod recently, yeah. Haven't I? Yeah. And then basically he got the timings fully wrong, and it is down to 30 seconds. So I was just chopping massive chunks out of an international test match warm-up. I don't need to stretch your fine.
They'd be kicking off 45 minutes later if that was me. I'm really sorry, but they're not ready. They haven't left the hotel.
And the best bit was trying to work out when the caffeine was, and the girls were so adamant, oh, we need to have it on like 17 minutes and 23 seconds after in the warm-up. I was like, yeah, they rose, yeah, cool. And they got it whenever they got it. I don't know. They lived and we won the game.
That is panic inducing. One thing we haven't mentioned, we'd started talking about the European...
Any rugby?
Any rugby. The European rugby. How good was Austin Healey's commentary on like the rubbish French matches? The fact that he was just so honest about how rubbish.
I think Ali Eakin leading it was just class. I think he set the tone. Austin is always honest. He always says what he thinks. But I think when you've also got the lead commentator, just like...
When it went all square at about 70 minutes and Austin went, yeah, that's just what this game needs, extra time. I was peeing myself on the sofa. I just loved it.
What was also good is was Nick Mullins and Ben Kay on the second game. And they were talking about the fact that all of the shots coming in from the directors, there at one point, they'd like all of the players were like all blurred out, and they'd literally focused on two pigeons that had landed on the field. It was the most pointless thing you could ever watch. Mm. And then they were doing all sorts of different angles. And in commentary, Nick Mullins was saying, and both of them were playing crazy creative shot bingo.
Yeah.
Yeah, for anybody that doesn't quite understand what we mean, if you ever have a game coming from France, we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago, the director is basically talking through what is shown on TV, but obviously the cameras are all around the stadium. But when you're trying to commentate and talk about the technical or tactical side of the game, and they decide to shoot off and show the clouds or the Chinook that's going over or birds on the field, or the guy on the weekend obviously absolutely loved a slow-mo of an emotion. So the amount of slow-mos you got of the relevant players, he was arty.
Have you ever done an OB in France?
No.
So in the UK, if you're working production, you're on site like for a big European game, like 5-6 hours before the kickoff of the match, like, you know, 5 hours before you're even on air. And you're in the truck and the lights are off and you're hardcore. In France, an hour before you go on air, they lock you out the truck, everyone goes for lunch, and all the cameramen have a glass of wine or a beer with their lunch. And it's just absolutely mental. Like, it's such a like different like pace and vibe to how we work. I love it.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Shall we have a chat about the Women's Six Nations? We'll get round to this. Two games on the weekend. Wales have now completed their pool stage of this year's Rejig Six Nations and have failed to score a point across the two games.
Yeah, I think last week against France was always going to be a challenging game, but I 100%, as with no one on the Guinness legends, got anywhere close to calling the fact that I think everyone called Ireland for the win, but no one would have predicted a 45-0 or 31-0 at halftime. It's a shame because it was Robin Wilkins' 50th cap. Massive achievement for her, so congratulations to Robin. But they've taken a hammer in. There's been all sorts of stuff flying around on social media about the WRU and the players and all sorts. And I hate seeing any level of trolling. Obviously, as part of the documentary, it's just fundamentally, like, vile. But I think from my perspective, there was red flags when Tails resigned a couple of weeks before the tournament. Last week, there were certain areas of the game that didn't combine with what's been spoken about from the coaches and how they said that they're going to play. So you think, okay, well, we're going to come up against the side, against the French, under a lot of pressure, a lot of heat, big physical side, loads and loads of heat defensively. And it fell apart. It was a real shame, because, and I will continually say, a number of those girls play in the Premiership week in, week out over in England. Probably one of the problems for the Welsh development pathways and all, that's a whole different conversation. But they're playing better in their club shirts than in the international shirt, in my opinion. Now, I'm not pointing the fingers at the players. I'm not pointing the finger at anyone at the moment. But for me, it is not good enough to see a team they lack defensive intensity. Their set piece was poor. You know, we've raved about all of the other hookers hitting back ball, but unfortunately, you know, I don't know whether it was the hookers or the jumpers or what was happening, but I think they got two or three lineouts out of, and the weather wasn't great, but Ireland were hitting them. Do you know what I mean?
One thing I wanted to ask you about, from a like game management perspective, I know that you've talked about this previously. In the Scotland-France draw last autumn, France emptied their bench really early on in the game. And I know that that was something that you pointed to in terms of where that game wasn't won for France. And Wales did the same thing this week. I think it was about 50, 55 minutes. They bought all of their subs on. How influential do you think that was? And why would you do that?
Yeah, so a number of injuries happened. So there was a number of injuries which... And then they also brought on the props at halftime. They lost all their subs. Siobhan, the captain, went down with an ankle injury. Would she have stayed on if there was someone else to come on for her? I don't know. And I've not spoken to her, so I don't know the level of her injury. She looked pretty in quite a lot of pain, she looked pretty uncomfortable. I think probably one is the tactics of anyone going on that then wasn't injured. Do you know what I mean? Like the coaches putting people on, like what was the reason from going on, but more so my concern around the robustness of players. And I'm not sure, sometimes injuries happen, right? And it actually happened in the French game. There was injuries and then the sub coming on got injured, and that was one of the reasons why there was so many people coming off the field. But I think the robustness is an issue that they just need to look at and just make sure, just from a player welfare perspective. Do you know what I mean? This isn't to hammer Wales at all, but there needs to be accountability. And actually, one thing that I've been really surprised about, and this is where when I talk about the players not performing, they made their line breaks down the edge, and we'll talk about that with Ireland versus France this weekend. But they made some quite good line breaks, or they got in behind. But then they turned over the ball or something happened, and there was no what next. And you know, Warren has talked about this open flowing game, and he's talked about, you know, playing this new style of rugby. You don't play, you know, it was like they played to the edge, they did well, but then did they think they were going to score? Did they, like, what, you know, good defenses are going to shut you down?
Yeah.
And that's where they seem to come unstuck, because they're intelligent players on that field, but it was the ball was turned over far too easily. And I think, like I say, the defensive side of things, Ireland looked incredibly fit. They looked incredibly strong. And every carries, they were basically getting over the gain line with Wales. Now, yes, defence is a mindset, but it's also an organisational thing. So Constantine bust through, brilliant line break, scored, like, fantastic individual score. But from an organisational perspective, where are the back three in that? Because there's no way, there was two people there. They're good defenders. Robin can make tackles. They're good defense. So I now, when I'm looking at it, thinking, what's happening from a tactical game plan perspective? Because it's like they don't have any structure.
Yeah.
And is that why they're not performing? Because, you know what, like I say, in club games, they are.
You've used the word accountability. And I think I've struggled a little bit with this week, because there has been a lot of conjecture and a lot of chatter around the match, and a lot of people jumping to the defensive players and, you know, talking about the trolling and stuff. And absolutely, that is not acceptable. However, there is a difference between trolling and asking what happened. And for me, the fact that off the back of the loss last week, in the pre-match interview, the head coach was asked, you know, what do you learn? What do you do differently? And all he could talk about was the passion of the red jersey, and that's all you need. And I thought, wow, like Wayne Pivac, the questions he's had to field last year when Wales weren't playing well. Now, yes, the women's game in Wales is underfunded. Yes, it's let down massively by the union, and that's something that's historical and needs to change. However, regardless of professional or amateur status, this is elite sport we're talking about. This is an elite test match level game. And there has to be maturity and accountability around that. And for me, I'm disappointed that we aren't holding the women's game to the same level. France are a team that are funded well. They are semi-professional. They've got a great league. Ireland, however, have not been playing rugby. There are fewer Premier 15s players in their side. Yes, there's a number of seven skills even sprinkled in, but you had one coming off the bench and one starting who had never been capped at 15s level before. So two newbies who start. And for me, it becomes a bit of a moot point, because the Ireland 15s programme has not been funded well over the past few years. They've been left out in the cold. So why are Wales clinging to this as an excuse? And I don't, and that's not at the players, it's at people who are saying, oh, well, the girls don't get this and the girls don't get that. Of course they don't. However, if we want women's sport to have the recognition that it deserves and to have parity with the men's, we have to treat it the same.
Well, that's why I've spoken about the rugby, right? Like, what's happening from a game plan perspective, the delivery. I think from my point of view, Koya is having a dinner. So if anyone can hear that, then... It's getting a little bit late in the Moretti Waterman household, so Koya obviously needs to eat. I think, you know what, I find it quite difficult when people talk about amateur and professional status. All right, fair game, when you know I know that it isn't just about being a professional rugby player that makes England so much better. We have a pathway, we have a premiership that looks after players. There is strategic, systematic things that's been built over years that provides a bigger base of players, right? So that's what we talk about with, like, all of it. That's what needs to improve from the WRU. They need to look at their structures below the elite game. How are they bringing girls in? How are they looking after them? What is their support service? If you actually take all of that aside and then look at, right, the game itself, there are skill sets and physicality and fitness levels that aren't good enough for test level rugby, in my opinion. And I'm saying that as somebody that has lived the life that they live, Yeah. I'm not comparing them to another nation. I'm comparing them to how good they can be. And I think that's where the players can take accountability. Am I as elite in my mindset in everything that I do? And this isn't, again, you can see there's a real mix across the side, but I don't believe that all of them are as good as they could be. And I never would have used that as if I was never allowed to have that excuse as an England player because my teammates set that culture and set that standard. And I think that that's where Wales can make a big shift. And that's what I want to see from their management and their leaders is let's change, irrelevant of what's happening outside of this, these players, all the structures, everything to put in place to help the game move forward in the future. Let's look at us now.
Yeah.
Are we fit? Are we strong? Are we hammering our basics? And if they turn around and say yes, well, okay, they can't do any more. But I don't think they can answer that if I look at it and I give an honest account of what I saw as a rugby player and as somebody that's played and worked in the game for a long time. And that isn't disrespectful. That's exactly what I would say about some of the England players, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
And they are professional.
Yeah. So let's have a chat on Ireland very quickly. I can imagine that you're probably quite impressed with their back three performance. Bevan Parsons, 19 years old, 100 miles an hour. Wow.
Strong as hell as well. I like a winger that wins collisions. I like that. And she did. She won a lot of collisions, scored after 2 minutes, I think. Eva Considine, Glass, I thought that, you know, I just loved how busy they were. They got loads of touches. They didn't just wait on their wing. And when they were on the wing and they got it and they didn't have that much space, they worked hard. Second half, it kind of fell apart a bit. It got a bit shaky.
Yeah.
I think what I was impressed with Ireland is they clearly had how they wanted to play. Their structures were simple. They moved the ball reasonably well. I think their passing could have been a bit better. It could have been a bit slicker. But they just carried hard, won the collisions. And yeah, I think Hannah Tyrrell, like, I think she's their 8th 10 in a couple of years.
Yeah.
Like, but I think she stepped into that role, player of the match, really lovely kicking variation. So grubbered the ball through, crossed kicked a couple of times. Only concern with her at 10 is just the length of her kick. I think that's what you'd need to see when you go up against the French and the English, and really making sure you capitalise on territory, because they could get away with it against Wales, but you wouldn't necessarily, if you need to exit, you've got to get some decent distance against the big sides. But
just want to say,
I thought they were really impressive.
Send a bit of love to Hannah and Saoirse, because Hannah may have got player of the match on Saturday, but she should have been marrying her partner Saoirse. So as much as it probably didn't make up for that, we're sending you both loads of love, girls, and of course to the Yorkshire Terrier. Sene was
a couple of things actually. Yeah,
I know that you want to talk about that.
Yeah, I just love that. For anyone that doesn't know Sene Naopu, she is one of the most inspirational women you'll meet. She had a big operation on her neck. Really quite scary time. She spent some time back in her homelands in New Zealand. But she's back. She looked great, scored a try, looked strong, just looked like Sene, and had a big grin on her face. So that was cool. I think for me,
I was going to ask you, did you think that the midfield makeup was the right way round? Because I've obviously hyped Eve Higgins to the max, and I've been excited to see her in 15s, but she didn't get a huge amount of time on the ball on Saturday.
No, so it shifted through her hands a few times. She is a very strong, robust player, and one of the things you see when she plays at 10 and 7s is the ability to take the ball to the line and bust that kind of thing. And you saw it a couple of times when she did get her hands on the ball. And actually, that's something that I put as a bit of a question mark going into the French. Actually, it's hard because I would want to see Eve in a bit more of a collision space and Senny with a bit more room. And actually then the Eve's hand in to shift it to Senny to give her that space, I think would be brilliant, because Senny takes this amazing outside arc and the way she runs. But defensively, Senny is really important in that 12 shirt. She goes up, she's really confrontational, loves to bite and smash someone. Whereas if you've got someone at 13 in that, quite often you can isolate your winger.
Yeah.
So defensively, saying that, she is a fantastic 13 as well. But I would have no dramas putting them the other way around, because I think that that would play into some of their skill sets. And I think probably the only two other things, the geeky bit for me, to some of their ball placement in and around the breakdown. I think if the French have got unbelievable jacklers, they'll just snap it up like that. And Wales learnt and got a lot of turnovers in the second half, so it'd be interesting to see whether they change that and adapt that. And then the only other thing is their edge defence, which was something that Wales did well but didn't capitalise on. You give the French any sniff of a line break, they will absolutely punish you. So that would be the two things really that I would say they're going to need to tighten up. It's exactly the same team that played the Welsh is playing the French this weekend, and I think it's going to be one hell of a test match. And it's been rewarded by the fact that France have brought back the vast majority of their big guns, although the human hairpin Boulard at fullback has taken the 15 shirt for a second start. Tremulia is not even on the bench, but they have started players like Ndiaye in the second row. They've got Drouin at 10, they've got Sansus at 9. So yeah, they've gone big guns, which is I think a credit to Ireland.
Okay, so Italy, England. Italy, what did you make of them before you move on to England?
Fair play to them. I loved what they did at the start. They absolutely went out to play. I think their continuity was superb. I think some of their collisions, some of their handling, some of the balls that they were picking up off their toes because their passing wasn't as slick as it needed to be, was super impressive. There was an injury, actually, I think, which meant Furlan moved to fullback and Rigoni came in. And that massively helped, I think, you know, having that that experience. I think the only problem was is that they just weren't quite as clinical with the handling to capitalise on all the possession that they had. And then they started to overplay and that kind of played into England's hands defensively. But there's not many teams that keep that much ball from England.
Yeah.
And for 40 minutes, they kept a lot of ball and it happened to be defensive pressure, but two opportunities that England pounced on the ball and finished it off. But apart from that, you know, fair play to them. I think it was a shame to see them fall off in the second half. But I think that that game was a massive win for Italy moving forward. And England still don't look like the England that they need to be, in my opinion.
How concerned are you? I know that you've previously mentioned to me that you think they're a bit blunt in attack, maybe. Obviously, they're getting tries on the board, but their attacking structure perhaps isn't where you think it needs to be.
They just don't look as slick as they normally would. And I think what we're probably underestimating is the massive loss that there is with Katie not pulling the strings. And Helena is a magnificent player, but Katie's world class and held that position, for 12 years? Yeah. And it's the timing, you know, there's timing errors, there's handling detail. I think why I'm frustrated is because I know that the girls will be frustrated because... Yeah. You know, and actually, if you flip it and look at the men's side in the start, first couple of games in the Six Nations for England men, their handling was poor. So you didn't see the backs open up. You didn't see all of the great stuff until they played the French. And then all of a sudden the pass is stuck and then they scored all these amazing tries. So it's like that frustration. And I think I'm kind of looking at it from a player's perspective. One thing I will say, and, you know, we talk about her a hell of a lot, but Jesus Christ, Vicky Fleetwood is fast. Her acceleration is just, she is literally a flea. Like, she is so quick. And I mean, she's got yellow boots that makes her even faster. That's why I wore them. But have a look at how quick she is.
Yeah.
She gets a try, but Megan Jones makes this line break. Fleeto is there before anybody else. And the backs are ahead of her. Like, she's where she's come from. She's unbelievable. And then
happy birthday for this week, Vicky Fleetwood. Another birthday.
Yeah.
Nice to see her on the board. And our favourite Ginger Ninja also got a try to her name.
Harriet Miller-Mills came on. Alex, there was a really lush late switch, Meg to Alex. Alex slides through, fence, steps, and then Bick does his awesome offload. Harriet runs a nice line to get there, awesome offload, and then is up for try of the match or try of the weekend. And it makes me laugh because...
She'll get the award, but it's not, yeah.
Yeah, but then I think, actually, she ran next to me at Twickenham Stadium and I got, nominated for Try of the Decade and she got no plaudits and yet she was the reason why I got the try. So you know what, has fair play to you.
You have it. Like, you have it.
Yeah. Couple Riley. Of other things with yeah. 3 from 3.
3 from 3.
She also put on the O2 inside line story that of her, like, there was this like briny cam of her in the bath, and she was doing, she's like, oh, my favorite time of the day, and she's like doing a face mask and a hair mask, and I was literally like, mate, you've got peroxide bleached hair that you've done yourself, like, why are you putting the hair mask, spending all that money on the product, get it done properly.
Closing the door after the horse has bolted there a little bit. So predictions for the weekend, because Match Point, I'm going to make excuses. You know, we hadn't seen teams. How were we meant to know what was going to happen? You know, that's...
You know what? Can I just say, there's just last thing about England, actually. It was really cool to see centre-back. I think she's had, like, over a year. And I don't even know how many months out with from playing for England. She's had all sorts of really quite nasty injuries and to get back. And so it was cool to see her back in an England shirt. And so anyway, Match Point. Can I just say a really funny stat that no one on the Guinness Legends League got any points other than just getting the win, right? So I think there was 3 people, and I don't think they actually even took part in the week. They obviously forgot to put their scores in, but everybody just took 20 points from the weekend. But which means that Fee Coughlan and George Gulliver, Fee Coughlan's at 60 points, she's smashing everyone. George Gulliver and Rocky are super close in second and third. And then in fourth, equal fourth, Sarah Orchard. Congratulations, Sarah. And Topsy Ojo.
I'm Topsy.
This is how the men must feel with us in the men's league.
Yeah.
The people that really, you know, well, to be fair, Sarah
has commentated on a few Prem 15s games this year, hasn't he? So I bet he's like now, like, rubbing his hands together. Like, he's got all of this knowledge. And I just, it's so hard. And actually, even though we've now seen all the teams this weekend,
it's not hard, mate. They've all got, they're all scores that I would have known if I just thought about all of the scores that have gone before this week.
But like Ireland Wales, who saw that scoreline? Yeah, and now
I don't think anyone did.
You know, could France turn Ireland over at home? And I don't know. I think this weekend we've got 2 incredibly entertaining matches ahead of us. So get on Match Point, get your predictions in.
Can I just say, the Tryhards League, I'm going to claim all of the success. So I have not done well myself, but Millie Whitehouse, absolute little legend from Wasp Centre of Excellence, is first in the Tryhards League this round. She got a perfect prediction and 40 points. So Millie absolutely smashed it. I'm going to now, as a proud coach, claim, I'm going to live like vicariously through her. Match Point.
Why are you saying that like that's a new thing? You do that every week with every player who went to Gloucester Hartbury. So on that note, I'm glad that you're not deviating from the norm. Thank you for joining us, Tryhards. We will be back in your ears next week.
See ya.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.